Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Creator's Playbook. I'm Michael.
I'm Steven.
And today we're creating stories about magical items.
Yay! Cue the music. Welcome, Michael, to the Creator's Playbook.
Hey, thanks.
That was your first intro.
Thank you.
You've done the thing.
I almost nailed it.
Yeah, I thought you did fabulous. I don't think there's anything to fix, Michael, in post-production. I'm not changing it.
Oh, good, because I'm not doing it in. I am not doing it again.
You can do it again when you do another episode. How about that?
Sounds good. All right. You know, so I think one of my favorite aspects of stories is the items within the story, because a lot of times items have a life of their own, especially if they were written right. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there are a couple of things to keep in mind in terms of like thinking about magical items or items in general in terms of stories. And I think items should involve something that we can relate to. So it's either wish fulfillment, like a spaceship, right? Like, I want to go to space.
You kind of jump from an item to a whole vehicle, but where you're thinking.
Sorry. When I think of items, I mean, it's something to accomplish something else.
Yeah. Right? Something that's not a character.
A tool or a thing. Right. So, I mean, categories could be weapons, attire, potions, tools, steeds, transportation.
Sure.
You know, so a spaceship is a steed. I mean, we could have space cowboys and their steeds are rocket ships to get to space, you know, whatever.
Or jetpacks.
Just go with it.
Anyway. I'm going with it. We're going. So, this is a journey. I'm here for it. Steeds.
Pulling upon some of the research that I was kind of reading through a couple of articles, one that really standed out to me was Wikipedia on mythological items, because we could gain a lot of history through some of the things that we've experienced in our own life. I think one of the things that stood out to me was there were so many named weapons. I don't have any examples on the hand, but name swords, you know, like George Goffrey's Sword of Light or whatever. Or it was just kind of really interesting to see how many of those swords or items had names. But I mean, there's a ton, like books, stones, vehicles, weapons, a lot of cool mythological items that you can pull as a resource to kind of to get you going.
And I think what's really neat about them, especially when you find these in stories, is how much, especially when done well, which is what we would hope to accomplish here today, how much these items have a character of their own. Not necessarily that they're out acting and interacting, but there's a history behind them. And it's discovering the history of these items that really make the item itself fascinating and make you want to learn and discover more with it.
Exactly. And as I was reading through some articles, one really stood out as being excellent as kind of a guidepost. And that was by September C. Fox. That's her website, septembercfox.com. And she wrote an article called Writing Magical Items, Weapons, Attire, and Such. Yeah, Google it. It'll be in the links in the show notes. But she talked about a couple of things. Wish fulfillment, make the item valuable, personalize it, give it a name, a history, a personality. I mean, it could be inanimate. Yet this weapon accomplishes something to help the character on with his quest, make it needed, make it a symbol, something that gathers people to it. Anyway, when you think about an item that you're writing for your story, think about the situation that the item is going to help the character solve. Don't just give them an item that's really cool and fancy and then do nothing with it, because you're going to leave your readers wondering why the crap did you just put that item in there that sounded really awesome and you did nothing with it? Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a letdown when that happens in stories.
Let me ask you a question, Michael.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you have a favorite item in your own personal life that you just can't live without and you can't say your cell phone or your computer? That doesn't count.
That's too many items in one.
Yeah.
you know, if my wife was going to tag me on one, it would be a flashlight.
Oh, really?
Yep. I have too many broken ones in the house and not enough fixed ones. But For me,
is that a point of contention? The fact that you have too many broken flashlights?
It's a disappointment in myself that I don't have enough working flashlights. Her disappointment that they're way too bright for the situation at hand.
Okay, that's good though. That's good.
Yeah.
Have you ever used more than one flashlight at a time for a given situation? Like,
yes. One headlight.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, one on your forehead and another flashlight in your hand as you needed more, you know, spotting and such. Usually when I do astrophotography, I have a headlight, a red light to kind of help see in the dark without killing my night vision.
Just made you sound so cool, Michael. Just kind of put that out there.
Stargazing. I love
and
stargazing.
And taking the pictures of it.
I took the garbage out earlier today and it was nice.
Congratulations for doing that, by the way.
Goal accomplished for the day. Anyway, I looked up and saw the stars and it was a clear night. And I was like, dang it, I wish I had my telescope out searching the sky. I was waiting for a clear night because it's been a little cloudy off and on the last couple of days. And
speaking of light, though,
it's beautiful out there.
Do you ever look up and just think about how old that light is? Because when you have a flashlight in your hand and you're waving it around, like you're generating it right there, you know?
New light.
Like electricity passing through different types of coils that ignite and like bring all these light photons. But when you're looking up at the stars, like those are billions of years old, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever think about that? I think about
I do, because peering up into space is like looking back in time. Because, you know, look at the sun. Don't look at the sun. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, we'll pass on that one.
thinking about the sun. That's 8 minutes old, right? The sun could have gone supernova and we wouldn't know for another 8 minutes, right?
Which Alpha Centauri is,
four light years away. So if there was someone living on Alpha Centauri and you had an awesome enough telescope that you could see the person there, magical item, telescope that can see someone on Alpha Centauri, it would have to be like as big as the solar system. But that's another fact. Anyway.
Let's build one just for the fun of it, though.
I agree.
Power it by the sun.
That's where this concept of now disintegrates, because like what's happening now on Alpha Centauri was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, from your point of view, looking at the light coming from Alpha Centauri. So, you know, it's kind of, I get myself mentally tied in knots thinking about the age of the universe and just how old it is and how young we are. And we digress. Going back to magical items.
Sorry. It's just No. I just see it now, like you as a wizard and your staff of light that can send things back in time. Actually,
staff of light. I think it would be a telescope that could teleport you back in time.
No, like I'm thinking that you would have a headlight just like right on your forehead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you could cast light out of it, like you're channeling some kind of mythical energy force. So I think what makes items kind of interesting is also if they have some kind of drawback. Do they get a boon to help them through the situation, but is it also cursed and prevents them from doing certain things?
Or what price do you have to pay
to
access said magical powers?
Yeah, like you get older by using it. Like you can see back in time perfectly, but now you're a year older every time you use this power. I don't know. Think of something interesting. But
that's our job, actually, on this podcast. What? Hey, everyone.
Getting older?
No, thinking of something interesting.
Oh, thinking of something interesting. That's a hard job.
It's a fun one, though. That's why I love doing this podcast, is that I, as prepared as I am going into an episode, I literally have no idea what's going to happen. And that's what, for me, as part of making this show, is just makes it so much fun for me.
Yeah. I love the storytelling aspect of it and kind of creating new situations and then trying to think of ways to get out of the situation or get through it or succumb to it in that awful misery, dark bellows of the situation. Not that we're talking about anything particular, but
I'm sorry. I keep on derailing us. Items.
Items. I want to come back and focus a little bit more on giving life to your item that you create. You know, as we're telling stories, stories are wish fulfillment, right? The characters want to do interesting things, right?
And we want to live vicariously.
I mean, that's why I love, you know, spacefaring shows and stories, is because I want to be in space, right? If you could see it, I'm wearing my NASA t-shirt today, right? I just love
space.
Looks very
good, by the way.
Thank you. Wish fulfillment. So space sci-fi things like allow you to accomplish things, or jetpack, you know, I want to fly, right? Jetpacks give you that ability. I think other things to consider when making an item or putting it in your story is it can't be commonplace, right? It's got to be valuable in some regard. Is it rare or is it super expensive? Is there only one of them?
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that there have been instances of really good stories where just because an item was commonplace didn't mean that it was any less valuable, especially mm-hmm. when the character is new to a situation. You know, a commonplace item to some societies or worlds could be brand new to the main character. And so they may be in awe of whatever they might be holding or in contact with, and the characters around them, like, that's just garbage. Like, there's nothing special about that.
Or how, like, in archaeological digs, we mm-hmm. dig up, you know, like shoes. Oh, gosh, we were at the Anasazi Museum mm-hmm. next to Capitol Reef just the couple months ago, and they had on display chewed spit balls, like, you know, like it was like tobacco chew, right? The Native Americans chewed on at the time, right? They had like 15 of them on display, and they're like, look, the teeth marks told us that. And, you know, you kind of got to read a little bit about, like, that's disgusting. I can't, at least maybe all the germs have been dead by between now and 1,000 years ago.
You never know, though. I see a story coming on.
All right. Anyway, so there, I think making the item have a history is super important. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to give the item some personality, some symbol that can draw the character to it. Mm-hmm. With that, I've actually written a little bit of a story.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited. To kind of stress a few of these points. It's a lot longer than I expected it to be, but I'm probably going to read it way faster than I intend to. So wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Long ago, the people of Arkland discovered a bubbling spring that granted to those who put their hands in the cool running water an item of need for their life's quest. Alex approached the Oracle Well. The modern name for this spring, a blue glow emanated from the depths below. I hope I don't get something lame, Alex muttered to herself as she looked into the well. Down there, she could see the currents churning. She looked over at Mage Kyle, her guide in the item-choosing ceremony. Kyle nodded curtly, giving a stern sense of, don't waste my time. Alex looked down, peering into the well. She closed her eyes and reached into the water. The pool glowed brightly for a second, and she felt something drop into her hands. Alex peeked an eye open. She slumped. A simple walking cane with a stubby bent handle was what she was gifted. All of Alex's friends had already received their items from the well. Gregory got a shield that pulled attacks against him towards the center of the shield. Rolana nabbed a crossbow whose shots could pierce any armor. I'm never going to hear the end of this, Alex thought.
What if she used that against Gregory, who is going to pull the shot into the shield? Like, is that going to pierce the shield?
Could be dangerous. Anyway.
I'm here for it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited. Go on.
Here, miss, let me see that, Kyle said as he reached out for the item. Alex held it up for him to take. Kyle snatched the cane and began inspecting it. He noticed the fine woodworking of the bent handle with its intricate detail carved in it. It felt lighter than a normal cane, Kyle thought, hefting it to test its weight and balance. The length of the cane was somewhat crooked with short, jaunted angles. Kyle reached out with his inner sense to discover if it had any arcane magic. Wisps of something were there. I don't know, miss. There is something about this cane, but my magic cannot discern it, Kyle bemused. Here, Kyle offered back the walking cane to Alex. Take it up to Head Sage Lexley and have her take a look at it. Kyle nodded in the direction Alex should go. Thank you, Mage Kyle. Alex bowed and looked up at the long flight of stairs to where the Head Sage office was. Alex started in that direction, feeling somewhat dejected. Alex heard in her head. Looking back at the mage, he had gone back to reading his book. Alex looked down at the walking cane. Aren't you going to name me? Asked the walking cane. Normally, by now, we have cool names, right? Alex jumped at the voice in her head, dropping the walking cane in the process. Alex heard, muted, distant, this time, still in her head. What was that? She said to the stick. A name, miss, Alex. I need a name, replied the walking cane. Anyway, that's the story.
Okay. I'm here for it.
So what did you get from that in terms of magical items?
She was gifted an item that was sentient. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the name is very important to this item's identity.
Yeah.
Which gives a lot of thought, because it makes me wonder if in the naming of this cane, it's going to adapt in some way, or change, or maybe just awaken further. So really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one thing though that her cane did say though is that usually by now we have cool names and stuff. So do people know about sentient items? Like, is this a new thing to them? Has it just not happened in a long time?
Well, okay, for me, in like the writing process of this story, I think items always existed, mm-hmm. right? They were summoned. They're summoned by this well to this point. So the item thinks it has always existed and should have already had a name to give it.
Could these items have been used by someone else? Like a long time ago, and like they're
so.
Just in stasis waiting for the next. That would Maybe. Be interesting.
Well, I don't think it's just in the past. I think these items could have been made in the future too.
Oh, you're saying that there might be microchips on the inside of this staff.
Could be, but it's definitely magical. But
you
I mean,
don't know that. It could be like advanced neural connections.
Could be nanite technology, and as soon as you hold the stick, the first person that holds the stick gets imprinted or attuned to the staff.
Uh-huh,
the staff
uh-huh.
now has a cybernetic link to the wearer, which is why it was distant, because she now has nanites in her body, and that link is a little bit weaker now that it's at a distant. But I think what this cane is no ordinary cane, right? Mm-hmm. It just happens to have taken that form for this particular person. And maybe as it was summoned to this person, the cane mm-hmm. felt like this person needed a crutch of sorts.
Oh.
You know, she was already thinking like she needed something cool and awesome, because mm-hmm. her friends got cool and things for their journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt super let down by the fact that she got a walking cane and her friends got awesome shields and crossbows.
Well, but you know, there's something interesting to be said about the cane, because usually when a person has a cane, it refers to one of two things: that the person might have difficulty walking, so they need the support, or mm-hmm. it could be in reference to the fact that they're going on a long journey and mm. they need support in another way, as in to help them hold balance when the trail gets rocky, or to lean onto when they're starting to feel fatigue. And so it could be interesting to see that symbiotic relationship. I don't really see it as a morphing cane. I mm-hmm. kind of see it kind of, you know, it is stuck the way that it is. But I mean, that could be played with in the story.
Yeah.
It could be interesting if she's able to whittle at the cane a little bit and actually give it part of her personality.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking like this, the cane is sentient. The cane is alive and mm-hmm. wants to be interacted with and relied upon, I think. And so I think as part of this journey that Alex is going to take as part of her life's quest, because the well in this story is the start of your life quest. It's kind of like mm-hmm. a coming of age story or rite of passage. I don't know the setting of this story. When I was thinking of stories for magical items, this mm-hmm. well came to mind, and the well grants items. And that's kind of what kicked off like characters' journeys as they go and battle evil or whatnot, or I don't know.
Well, but, I think the well being named Oracle really kind of helps you see that the well itself is probably sentient. The well mm-hmm. is seeing what you need. And if we are transcending time, I think like items made in the far past as like very magical items and items in the far future.
Technological.
But maybe like disguised as like, you know, ancient stuff. Like, it could be really interesting.
I was looking at the definition of magic for this, and magic mm-hmm. it more or less is something that you cannot explain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So technology to us now is magic to those 100 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, technology future is going to be magical.
Going back to your example of the flashlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your flashlight. If you were to take that 1,000 years ago, being able to summon that much light, you know, in an instant and turn it off again. Like,
I mean, I've got 1,000 lumen
flashlight. The concept of batteries is never going to make sense.
Or recharging it that long ago. But
when it's dead, you know, it's dead, Michael. And you already have plenty of those. You don't need any more of those.
Like a light bulb out. Anyway, when I first got that flashlight, it's 1,000 lumens. And it was really cool to turn it on and face it up towards the ceiling, because that's like a 100-watt light bulb in terms of its brightness. Well, back in the incandescent days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's bright. And you can actually see the whole room quite well.
Wow. Yeah.
With just the one light everywhere reflecting. Mm-hmm. So that would be extremely magical. I mean, like, you have a light that can shoot hundreds of meters away, and people would be afraid
of that. Think of the epic puppet shows with that one flashlight. I bet you one of her friends actually did get a flashlight, and they're just like, whoa, what is that? Like, they're just in awe of this seemingly normal flashlight.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's several parts of this story that I really like. And I like that you've added that the Oracle well is sentient and knows what the characters need. I think there's a lot of symbology there where you have to reach into the well to grab the item, to pull it across time.
Really image. Now, that time thing, though, that's definitely got to be a reveal. Like, I think the idea that these weapons or items, these tools have actually been in circulation, quote unquote, is definitely something that would make a really, really great reveal later in, like, the trilogy, depending on how you kind of organize the story. But I have a big question that we haven't answered yet.
What's your question?
The staff asked it himself. What's the name going to be? I think we need to name it.
Oh, you know, I didn't name it on purpose.
Good, because I was thinking Deuteronomy. I don't know why that came to mind.
Deuteronomy.
What does Deuteronomy even mean?
Isn't that like journeys in the wilderness? Oh, that's Exodus. Exodus is like journeying in the wilderness.
Oh, Deuteronomy is from the Bible, isn't it? Oh, it is. I completely forgot about that. I just thought it was a cool sunny name off the top of my head.
You know, the funny thing is that I was thinking, like, as part of the give it a history, give it a name, a lot of historical things, like, I was thinking, like, what are things that are, like, precious to lines of people, and that's usually like scriptures, like someone's scriptures is a precious memento from ages past and something that's valuable and whatnot. But that's the thing that came to mind. The fact that you said Deuteronomy was even kind of funnier to me.
I just thought that Deuteronomy would be a really cool character's name, like good old Deuteronomy.
What is Deuteronomy? It's two something, right? The fifth book of the Bible contains.
Yeah. So according to this, Deuteronomy means the second law or the repeated law, which I think. That could be really interesting. If her character grows to be, you know, maybe a judge, like part of her journey is to actually bring the law, bring judgment down, and the staff becomes more of a weapon and she like smacks people with it.
Now, there, get back in line as old grouchy men like whack the people with their cane. I totally get that. Deuteronomy also contained the Ten Commandments. Right, so
maybe it grants her 10 magical powers,
10 charges that renews once
every
a month.
Time the sun right. Oh, okay. Every new moon.
No, every new moon, the staff recharges, and you can use a judgment.
I don't know what that means, but
you take the staff and you touch it towards the person's head, and using its nanite power, it can read the person's history. Like it gets into the brain and it takes time for it to recharge the nanites. That's why you can only use 10 charges a month. Mm-hmm. But
why does it need moonlight?
It doesn't need moonlight. It just that's how long it takes to regen 10 charges. Okay. So, you know, a charge every 3 days.
Okay.
I imagine the nanite power here there kind of allows you to have like a mind link with the other person, so that you can see their history and their past. And this is a weapon from the far future, I think. And I want to say it's a weapon or a tool. Sorry, not a weapon. It's a tool from the far future that allows you to discern friend or foe. Because in the far future, a lot of the wars that were fought were more ideological. And it was hard to tell whether you had wolves in sheep's clothing and if you had allies or really a traitor amongst your midst. And so this staff of judgment, Deuteronomy, allowed you to have that insight.
Now, okay, but here's something like she's naming it. And I'm going to assume mm-hmm. that the Bible doesn't exist. So this is symbolism that we're yeah. pulling from our understanding.
Our mythology.
And so I don't know if I'd necessarily go as far as like mixing mythologies, so to speak. I do think, though, that pulling on the judgment thing is interesting. Mm-hmm. But maybe Deuteronomy is not the right name for the staff.
I would honestly probably just call it judgment.
Maybe she's like, I need something epic.
Right.
You will be judgment. And he's like, I will rain terror.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far. That sounds a little brooding to me.
maybe she's like, I think I will call you judgment. Well, if you insist.
Let me tell you about my powers to help you understand what you've just caused.
I actually had 937 different options. This is the one that you chose.
Head on down to the Price is Right.
Or maybe the staff is like, you have been judged for this name. I'm just kidding. Let's go have some fun. Yeah. So I guess just to kind of round this out, it's interesting because this is one of those things. The way that this mm-hmm. story is orchestrated is that you, the author, the storyteller, you get to put a lot of things in motion in mm-hmm. this sequence of her receiving the staff and where she is going to end up as a character. And now that the item actually is a character, where it's going to end up with her.
Yeah.
And so I think the only thing that I'd like to explore kind of in closing out would just be where she's going to start her journey. What is the catalyst that is going to send her where she's going?
You know, I think as she starts to have this internal dialogue with the staff, as she's climbing the stairs, I think by the time she gets to the top of this, up to the sage's office, she realizes talking to the sage is the wrong thing to do. And that this hierarchical nature of the mage and sage is something that needs to be broken out of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too much. She realizes with the sentient item that
what if they're looking for an item and they're waiting for the right person to pull it and they don't realize that she actually pulled what they're looking for?
Exactly. And by the time she gets up to the top of the stairs, like, she realizes, I've got it. This is the thing.
Well, I mean, she doesn't know that they're looking for something. Well, I think from her perspective, she's like, actually,
okay.
Because she's already now had like a couple of quick back and forths with this thing that she's mm-hmm. now freaking out about. I wouldn't be surprised if she's more along the lines of, I need to think about this. Tell you what, yeah. Miss Sage, I'm going to come back, but I kind of want to come to terms with this myself before seeking guidance. And yeah. then that kind of steers her in one way.
Yeah, I want to say the staff knows what time period it's in
mm-hmm.
and is still coming back to its memories, having gone through time. That's why it didn't know its name and needed an identity.
Well, I still kind of like the idea that it getting a name kind of like
sets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay I could go ways, with that. Though. Maybe... Maybe it remembering its own name, or maybe it's long chain of names. Maybe it's had a lot of different names from different people.
And this could be the first, or it could be the last, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe just one of the millions that it has mm-hmm. as it's gone through history.
Maybe as she learns or finds out its different names, she's able to unlock more of its memories.
I mean, there's a lot of power in a name. Know? Yeah. Yeah, as those may be key words to unlock the technology.
Oh, there could be a really funny scene where she like says something random and it's like, that's my name too.
Ha, you figured it out. Finally, guess what we can do now?
Fire abilities. No, I don't know.
Something. Upgrade complete.
anyway. You require more Vespine gas.
Not enough minerals. Anyway, I thought this was just a light, charming story that
no, you know, really
a character could have
cute.
An internal dialogue, and maybe the even though the staff is judgment, it has mm-hmm. no clue what that means.
Well, and she has no clue what that means. She just thought right. that would be cool,
right, because she felt judged by the well.
She did, though. Oh, it's even more symbolic than I thought.
Yeah.
And this is one of those where if we are dealing with an evil organization, or not necessarily uh-huh. evil, but an organization that has its own motives, which is why yeah. they took over the well, and they did so mm-hmm. in the name of peace, or and whatever justice. It is, who knows what it is. it could be interesting because they don't necessarily know what they're looking for, but they know mm-hmm. different signs to be looking for. And I think a character going quote unquote kind of mental in having conversations with themselves might be something that they're
one
like
of those signs.
Maybe that's what we're looking for. And so they start becoming suspicious. And so yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of different options that I think are really quite exciting.
It could be. Yeah. I'm actually kind of interested, and I'm like, do I write more to this story?
I think you should do it, Michael.
I've got to start, and I've been wanting to start for a story for a while, so I now have my walking, talking stick.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. On this podcast, you're going to have a lot of starts to different stories. Which is actually one thing that I've loved. I love going back and listening to old episodes and being like, I should keep on writing that.
I know.
Which I actually started back during November. I started on NaNoWriMo and started writing the stories out. And
I've been waiting really to hear. Happy.
I know. I need to finish some of them.
You guys' stories.
So it's, I don't know, man. It's just cool things. And I'm just excited that you're here on the podcast.
I know, me too.
As a permanent fixture, I think it's going to be so much fun. You, Sarah, Robbie. I'm just really happy with how this podcast has evolved.
We've got the gang back. It's been fun listening to it over the months and then actually being a part of it every now and again. So it's a blast. It's nerve-wracking and terrifying, but it's a blast.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good place for us to wrap it up.
I agree. Because I'm out of story.
Thank you guys. Do you want to lead us out? I wish you could see his expression right now. I wish that was recording because that was priceless.
It was
literally total terror. Alarm.
Oh, thank you everyone for joining us on this episode of Creators Playbook. You can follow us on Twitter at CreatorsPBPod.
Oh, you got it. Oh.
And search for us on Facebook by Creators Playbook. Join us there for more discussions about this episode. Do we have an episode number for this one yet?
We don't have an episode number for this one quite yet. What we're going to do is our recording schedule now has become a little bit chaotic, so to speak. Ooh, and chaotic. Because of that, we're now recording episodes not necessarily in order. And so what we're going to start doing, which we've actually been doing this entire time, is we are going to be posting the episode hashtag in the show notes. So just go down, you'll see what episode it is. It'll have that hashtag right there. You can click on it, copy paste it into Facebook or into Twitter, and you can use that to communicate about this episode specifically.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make. Cue the music. Which sounded nothing like our beloved intro.
Alex looked back down, peering into the well. She closed her eyes and reached into the water.
And pulled out a headlight.
Close.
No, I really think that she needs a headlight.
She could have a headlight later in the story, but not right now. No.